Minister Balakrishnan, would you like to respond to Mr. Fadli Fauzi's earlier question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. Singapore's position on straits use for international navigation is long-standing and consistent. The Straits of Hormuz, just like the Straits of Malacca and the Straits of Singapore, are examples of straits used for international navigation. No ifs, no buts, no questions as far as we're concerned. It is so. Now, what is the international law position on these types of straits? And the position is quite clear. There is a right of transit passage. A right of transit passage. It's not a privilege to be granted by the bordering state. It's not a license to be supplicated for. It is not a toll to be paid. It is a right of all nations' ships to traverse. This right is enshrined in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, of which obviously Singapore is a signatory and has ratified. Article 44 of UNCLOS imposes a direct and an unambiguous obligation on states bordering these international straits. And let me quote, it states, quote, states bordering straits shall not hamper transit passage, unquote. It also goes on to state there shall be no suspension of transit passage. There's no exception for security, there's no exception for environment, there's no exception for war. Singapore also takes the position that this right of transit passage is also part of customary international law. And in case you're wondering why I'm nitpicking about customary international law, it's because there are some other states that may have signed but have not ratified UNCLOS, and I'm stating that so that I'm telling you this is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for states that have not ratified UNCLOS. So we have been closely monitoring the situation in the Straits of Hormuz. The Maritime and Port Authority of Singapore remains in close contact with the ship owners as well as the operators of Singapore-flagged or Singapore-registered ships in the Straits, in the Persian Gulf. At both the international and regional levels, our agencies are engaging with the stakeholders to explore potential opportunities to facilitate safe transit of the ships. And don't forget, there's also a humanitarian issue for the workers, for the maritime sailors on board these ships. And this includes engaging the International Maritime Organization and the member states on the potential establishment of a safe maritime corridor following the 36th extraordinary session of the IMO Council. In addition, we're also engaging regional counterparts on other possible arrangements that may be explored. You may be wondering why I'm taking such a legal and strict definition. And it's not because I'm particularly obsessed with law, but because the Straits of Malacca, the Straits of Singapore, is in fact another critical choke point. You may be aware that, in fact, if you add up all the maritime oil, crude and refined, you might be surprised that actually more flows through the Straits of Malacca and Singapore than even the Straits of Hormuz. If you think about global trade, container trade, There's far more flowing through this place. And the most important geographical fact, which most people are not aware of, the narrowest point in the Straits of Hormuz is 21 nautical miles. Guess what the narrowest point in the Straits of Singapore is? It's less than 2 nautical miles. So do you understand now why we have to take a categorical position that international law and UNCLOS is the constitution of the oceans, and this is a right, freedom of navigation as a right and not a privilege for ships and planes. And this is of profound importance to Singapore. So to your specific question, yes, I have engaged with the Iranian foreign minister before the war. And yes, I'm sure I will engage him in the near future. But as a matter of principle, and not because we're taking sides, I cannot engage in negotiations for safe passage of ships or negotiate on toll rates, because to do so would be implicitly eroding this legal principle. So again, this is another example of Singapore upholding principle, not taking sides. The larger geostrategic backdrop to this is, whether you realize it or not, the world has become more violent and more volatile. And there is a price to be paid for that. Second, what the Straits of Hormuz has shown is that even in this digital age, choke points and physical delivery still matter. And the third point which we need to register in Singapore is that it's not enough to be an oasis of safety, security, cohesion, wealth, and even having the military ability to protect ourselves. Because if our region is aflame and with war and missiles flying, no oasis can be safe. The upshot of these three observations is that there is an insurance premium to be paid. So let's be upfront with our people, explain the dangers, no sugarcoating, explain what needs to be done, including paying that insurance premium. So you need to alert our people, but not be alarmists. And we have to walk that fine tightrope.